Well, hey, cheers.
Cheers.
We made it.
Yeah.
This is the ninth time we've recorded this. So we're going to play a little game. And this game is, it's about what about our jobs will be obsolete in the future. Since we design churches and everything's getting automated, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
This will be a fun game. We're going to start off, the first question is a little lighthearted before we talk about our jobs going to oblivion. In a fight, do you think that you could defeat the Boston Dynamics robot? Doing like the backflips and parkour and stuff.
Okay, the human one?
The human-like robot, yes.
So I think as of right now, probably, because it still moves kind of slowly.
Just like barehanded, you could beat it.
And I feel like I could knock it down, but I don't know.
A broomstick and...
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it do backflips and everything, so I'm going to say yes.
What about Spot, the little...
That I'm actually more afraid of, because I feel like it can run fast and sneak up on you and just knock you out.
Yeah. I think they're actually getting Spot trained for military. I guess they're all being, all the robots are becoming militarily trained.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play a game. The game is, I'm going to list off things to you, and you are going to tell me if you think that this can be automated.
Okay.
All right? And if you want to give caveats like, yes, maybe like commercially viable in the future, or like no, whatever, feel free to do that. But just start with the yes or no. Do you think it can be automated in principle?
Okay.
First one. Presentation of a church design to a client.
No.
Okay. We'll come back to some of these maybe. Sound system design. AV design.
Yes.
You have speakers. Yes. Okay.
For sure.
So you input all of the parameters and it can just say, here's what you need.
Yeah.
Great. Organ system design in a church. An organ. A little more nebulous.
Yeah.
I mean, acoustics are harder to figure out.
I think
it
could get there, but it would be harder.
Organ screen, frontal screen design, a la St. Martin's, huge wood. It's an aesthetic thing.
I would say no.
No. Okay.
No,
given the physical constraints. No. Okay. Church facade design, the front of a church.
I think you could automate 80% of it, but not fully. You'll still need some human input to.
What's that 20%?
I think that's the creativity.
Okay.
So I think it could definitely come up with a bunch of designs you would expect.
Okay, so let me back up for a second. Are you saying that, given what you understand about technological advance, that you don't think it can ever be automated?
It can be automated, but I mean, I suppose if your goal is just to produce something that looks like a church,
then
I think it could. But if part of the goal is creativity, doing new things... Moving the church forward.
Okay, putting a little gloss on it.
Yeah. Then I think you still need some humans for that.
All right. Material selection. You have materials inside, you have terrazzo floors, a marble stone, you have carpets, types of wood.
I'm going to say no. I think you still need a human to...
You need a person to do that.
To feel the stone, to see the wood, and to... Mm. Put it together.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I'm not going to answer these questions. I have all these things I want to say, but you're the one answering the questions. Building massing. Basic, for the viewers who are not familiar with architecture, the massing is kind of big blocks. Like we have if you had to diagram it with rectangles on Microsoft Paint, what would that be for the building? So most buildings, it would be rectangle or L-shape. So building massing, can that be automated?
It can, but I still think you would need a human to pick the right massing. So you could have a computer come up with 150 different variations, but you still need a human to discern which one's the right one.
Some of these I already know and I've seen. This is already in play. This is a thing that is it exists out in the world.
Yeah.
Liturgical furnishings. Can an AI design for you an altar or an ambo or a lectern?
I mean, again, I think it can do a lot of the work, but it's that touch of creativity that it would be lacking.
What do you mean? Elaborate.
Just that, you could obviously, a computer could look at previous designs and triangulate, all the churches that have ever been built and come up with something that looks like a mix of those.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that church architecture requires some spark of creativity.
Mm.
And that's where I think the computer would fall short, because it would not be able to think of anything except what's already been here.
So it could approximate something like other things that it can sample.
Right.
But could it create a truly new thing?
Yeah.
Who knows? And is that even new? Okay, I'm just leaving these. I'm not commenting on any of them. It's really, it's interesting. Composition of an original work of music for liturgy by the AI.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I mean, again, I think it can put together things that might sound good, but you need a human to be able to feel, you know, what you're trying to write for, right? Like, it's kind of, I mean, it's almost in a way the same question about, can a non-Catholic architect design a church? And of course, like...
they're AIs.
The answer is yes, but there's something about a Catholic who feels the Mass, who, like, knows the true meaning and the deep meaning,
and then
designs from that point, from that perspective. Mm-hmm. It's also, I've actually heard musicians say, it's important that people who sing at Mass be Catholic, because since you're a participant in the liturgy, you want to be able to feel the liturgy and actually believe what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would say that it would be important for a composer to likewise be human.
Be human. To have the capacity to feel as we understand it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting because this is one of the things that exists. There are entire, you know, compositions. Haven't listened to all of them, but in doing research on what these potential topics are, some I don't know, some I think are probably in principle impossible.
Yeah.
This was one that is done, but I think you touch on an interesting point, which is that it's not just that it sounds good. Like, if someone found it and listened to it, they would say, hey, that's beautiful. But there's something about the human being the creator that gives it its value.
Right.
In addition to it just being objectively beautiful.
Well, and I think you touch on that point of saying being the creator. I mean, you know, Letter to Artists, John Paul II talks about how when you are an artist, a musician, an architect, whatever, you get to participate in God's creative act. So it's not only good for the people who get the end product, but it's good for the people doing the work itself.
Yeah.
So you would be depriving architects, musicians, and other people.
The act of composing
is a sanctifying act.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like the sort of Orthodox writing of icons.
That's right.
Like part of the creation is part of what you provide.
Spirituality.
Yeah. There's a thing I was thinking about in this, which is that, like, is there a future where the church is, like, small and, like, you know, all of the sort of Pope Benedict's sort of isms of about the smaller church, but is it the last vestige that rejects, like, total automation, AI, like, optimization of cost and everything, where everything we have, maybe it's less... objectively beautiful in the sense that an object in and of itself is beautiful, but it's all made by people. Yeah. Therefore, it's more dignified in some way.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's a dystopian novel. You can write
that. Well, I mean, it's almost, in a way, asking, would it be okay to just play music at Mass through the sound system? Is it important that people sing the music?
Yeah.
And obviously, we think it is important that people sing the music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although I've heard of some people say that they've been to Masses where people were playing recordings, but they recognize how terrible that was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the church has very clearly stated that the human voice is the most sort of dignified and important instrument, let's say, in Mass. And everything that gets close to that, like an organ, the degree to which it approximates it, the degree to which it's fitting for liturgy.
Yeah.
Next, original AI-developed fabricated sculpture. There's a statue of Mary, and the AI said all of the Mary things, and then it, like, milled it with a 9-axis router, shipped it, Amazon drop shipping to your church.
I mean, again, I think it's very possible, and in fact, it's an interesting question, because what if the artist designed it in Rhino or one of these three-dimensional tools, and then just hit print, and it 3D prints a statue of Mary? Mm-hmm. Is a 3D printed statue of Mary of the same value as a hand-sculpted statue of Mary by an artist?
That was digitally sculpted by a really devout Catholic.
Right. You know, 3D. So one is digitally sculpted, one is physically sculpted. Is one better than the other?
Yeah.
Is it okay if we just have a bunch of 3D printed statues? Mm. I mean, we have 3D, we have, you know, catalog order statues.
Yeah.
But we would say those are not great.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm going to go with the same thing, that it's important that we have artists that have it as part of their spirituality. They make it themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that's important.
So there's a consistent goalpost shifting, which I'm going to grant, which is that I originally said, can it be done? And you're saying, maybe the question is, ought it be done by a person?
Yeah, I mean, can it be done? Probably, right? Like, just technically, I think it will get to the point where Statues of Mary will be produced, and if no one told me, I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the original overlying provocation in all this is things are far different now than they were in 1890 and they were in 1940. And one of the realities of the future is the way we make things, the way we assemble things, and the way we order parts of buildings, a lot of it is a kit of parts that someone else has designed.
Yeah, absolutely.
The window, a system we pick, and someone else has done all the details for it, and we're just kind of fitting it in.
Yeah.
And if you extrapolate that with all the new advances in technology and AI, machine learning, and all that stuff, that like GPT-3 input that can write a new, the missile of 2034 is not written by a person. It's written by some version of this AI now. Is what do we do with that? You know, I don't even know what the question is, but that's kind of where all this stuff comes from. Is that's one of our new things. It's like people said, what do you do with a church when you can build it out of steel? Like maybe one of our new questions, like our vernacular that we deal with is, if AI is part of the technology that helps us create this thing, how do we deal with that?
Yeah.
Going down the list, AI composed masses. I don't even know what that means anymore. Now that Traditionis Custodes has dropped, but I don't know.
Like, what did you mean by that, though? That the role that the liturgist would play is played by an AI.
Yes. The liturgist itself is automated.
I actually think that in that sense that could actually be automated because, I mean, especially in the old mass, because so much of it is prescribed, right? Like you have the saint of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the mass of the day, and the propers are already determined. So really, it would just be trying to pair music with it.
Mm.
And in most traditional circles, you're looking at just using one of the traditional, Gregorian, the different masses, the number of masses. And so, why not?
So because it's funny because it almost doesn't require lots of thought. It's fine for a machine to do it.
Well, it just has the guide rails for what you can do are so much more defined that you could potentially have an AI scheduler just put together and it spits out
the bumpers.
You know, the missile, the pew missile for the day, you know.
It's like Calendly or something. It's like helping you arrange your calendar. Let's see. It's still in the design realm. Assessments of practical renovation needs. Does our building need to be renovated? Is it leaky?
I would think absolutely.
Is it going to meet code?
Yeah, I would love to have that automated.
Totally agree. The code, I'll say this is one thing that exists, maybe not for existing buildings, but for buildings under design.
Mm-hmm.
There are technologies right now that will help you assess, obviously like structural stuff that's been around forever, but if it meets all the kind of municipal codes and ordinances and things like that.
Yeah.
Once design is done, quote unquote, let's just say that's a thing that can exist,
create
a full set of construction documents to be permitted and built.
I think so. Why not?
Hard yes. Yeah. What that means for the non-architectural construction viewers, listeners out there, part of what architects do is we help the client figure out what it is that they want. And then we do all the fun things like, you know, pick the materials and help design. But then what we have to do then is create a set of drawings and specifications. Basically, it's a big book and text and a bunch of pretty drawings that then help communicate what the intent is here to someone that's going to build it. Woo, don't want to spill that. So it's doing all of the, you know, if you imagine what a guy would be like, I don't know, what's the guy from that man is, not that man is you, Himyam, the architect. On the thing. Anyways,
which show?
There's a guy. I don't watch it. How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay.
All I can think is Himyam. I'm like, it's not Himyam. I don't know what's going on. If you imagine him just like drawing out a board, we don't draw out a board like this, but we do produce drawings. So I'm rambling. Basically, the drawings that you would imagine an architect doing can be done by machines. They already are, to some degree, automated, but it's like subsets of the software.
Yeah.
Once the building starts construction, perform architectural management jobs, like construction administration, basically.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think a lot of that could be automated. I still think you'll need some human oversight, but a lot of it could
be. The company drone could give you enough information.
Yeah, I think so.
We're going to shift to construction. Bricklaying horizontally, like a sidewalk or a street.
Oh, for sure. Almost already here.
It already exists. Yeah, this is a hard yes. Bricklaying vertically, like up a wall, up a church facade, over arches.
Yeah, I think same thing.
Yes, it exists. There's an architectural firm, Gramazio Kohler, that made a kind of example of this with a bunch of drones swarming. Mm-hmm. The bricks were, they were like foam blocks, I think, to start just kind of explaining how it could be done. They did some kind of crazy wavy wall thing, but that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you've seen drones do things at like, you know, the start of the Olympics where they're basically 3D pixels floating in the air, making crazy kind of designs. So the technology is basically here to do that in principle, but, you know, commercially viable, I don't know.
Yeah.
Steel erection, can that be automated?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah? How far away do you think it is for it to be commercially viable? Like on a project where we would say, you know, or anyone. Say like it's a really expensive high-rise Manhattan.
Yeah, I think it's within our lifetime for sure.
Okay.
20 years maybe.
This is good. Partly why I want to do this too is that it's a little time capsule.
Yeah.
You know, September 3rd, 2021. We'll see how far off we are, where it's like, all right, September 3rd, 2022. It's all here. We're done. Concrete. Do you think that the robots will be able to pour all the concrete?
Oh, yeah. That's also already happening.
Dunskys. So, like, concrete gets to site. There's no person managing
the
concrete pour.
They have 3D printed houses, and most of the time they're using concrete to do it.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, following a path. So, it's kind of already happening.
Okay. Foundation pours, too, huh?
I don't think foundation pours are happening just yet. But these houses are walls that they do in layers.
I've definitely seen the vertical concrete pouring. The horizontal.
I'm not sure they've done that yet.
Yeah. I feel like all of the things that have to go into concrete pouring, all of the rebar you have to place, all the ties, the chairs, it's such a kind of scrappy thing. It's like I was listening to an interview with Elon Musk where he was talking to someone else about what robots are good at and what people are good at.
Right.
He said a person's great at like grabbing a dangling tube and like snatching it and like hooking it back up.
Right.
Or like folding a towel.
Yeah, but you know they're coming up with their new robot. So that's
I'm sure that it's like done. Like this whole episode is
once that
is obsolete.
Is up and running then.
Yeah. I think concrete pouring is further out.
Yeah, probably.
Let's see. Level 5 finish, stud sheetrock assembly.
Yeah, I mean, for that.
That's like super nice, top of the line, beautiful walls. You want to like caress the walls when they're done.
I mean, given enough time horizon, I think absolutely. I think it will get there.
The Boston Dynamics robots already
really
hang sheetrock. I saw a video of them doing that.
Yeah.
So like the tolerance, like if they can hang sheetrock, going from like a level 4 to level 5, like it's
They're
done.
They're going to be able to.
It's done. Yeah, I think that's going to be a thing that within our lifetime will be just like totally automated.
Every wall will be level 5.
If like Taiwan doesn't get taken over and we can still use semiconductors, you know, there are other sort of global issues that could come into play. But if assuming the technology is accessible and the materials, then just by mentioning Taiwan, we're probably not going to be able to be played in China.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's see. Painting. Will painting be able to be automated?
You mean like painting walls?
In a church. Yeah, like beautiful walls.
You're not talking about like stenciling. You're talking about just like painting.
Well, that's another one. Just painting.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see why not.
Okay. Well, stenciling is the next one.
Imagine a little
drone.
A little bit harder.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Actually, I think stenciling may be.
Stenciling, I can see them just printing on the wall.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it could happen.
Yeah. I've seen something like stenciling on the wall. So I think this is a...
But again, goes back to the question of the importance of the artist. Like, if you have a computer-generated design that can just be executed by a robot, then
sure. Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of the provocations is when we get to a point where every one of these... This is like, at the end, there's a few questions here I want to ask you.
Yeah.
When we get to the point where every one of these is a yes, yeah. and then we say not only yes, but it's 70% of the human-made one, and we can get it a lot faster,
yeah.
at what point do we say, you know, I kind of want the thing that's made by a person.
Right.
Like, how far removed from the end product? We're already in some way removed from people making things for us.
Yes.
Like this camera that we're recording on, and like this thing and this cup, and you know, yeah. nothing was made by someone we know.
Right.
So maybe we'll just continue to, you know, live in a world where we're really removed from it. But I think it's coming quickly.
Yeah.
And as a podcast about architecture, it's the thing that matters. Construction. We did stenciling. Hanging really, really nice, expensive artwork, like a crucifix or stations. It's like gilded, and it's like from some shop in Germany, and then.
I think so. I mean, in some ways, robots will be more careful than we are.
Mm.
Right? I mean, we're clumsy.
Yeah, yeah. So, good. At the end, I guess last one, which is like kind of boring, but we deal with it all the time. Delivery of construction materials to the job site.
Yeah, I think that'll be totally
wherever there. Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, yeah. I think it's, even though like all of the sort of Tesla, Supertruck, Cybertruck things, we'll be able to ship things down the highway. Having things pulled off of the trailer
yeah.
is like it's a thing that I think in principle can be done, but will it be cheaper to just have a couple of guys, at least in Houston, unload it?
Yeah.
Yes, eventually, who knows, it'll be like a question of like,
yeah,
just kind of dollars and cents, but in principle, will it be able to be done? The Boston Dynamics robot does
right.
all of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's the end of the question, the do you think we'll be done with our job in 2 years questions.
Not 2 years, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But eventually.
So, there are three or four questions that I was just going to kind of wrap up with here. And one of them, you basically got to before I did, which is, what can be done by us, but what should be done by us?
Right.
And you kind of basically all the time said, yes, yes, yes. But, like, that's kind of icky. Like, shouldn't a person... Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you could argue that almost, I mean, I don't know. You could get into a big argument about the value of work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like what is everyone going to do if robots are doing everything? And what will that do to diminish our humanity? But was it you that were telling me about one of the workers at St. Martin's was like crying? Were you telling me about that?
Yeah, yeah. So there
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so there was at St. Martin's Episcopal, I'll show some kind of cool picture. There's this amazing woodwork that our office did it's like 15 years ago now, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful building. It's probably the biggest Gothic building in Houston, in the area, maybe in the state. And it's got an amazing rood screen in the sanctuary and a huge, I mean, it's probably like 70, 80 feet tall, an organ screen in front of the organ.
Yeah.
And there's a huge ambo and a pulpit and all of the furniture. It's just beautiful. And one of the parishioners was walking through one day and saw a guy crying in the pews, and it was towards the end of the fabrication of all this wood, and it was one of the craftsmen, one of the woodworkers, and he was sitting there, and he was just kind of like sobbing to himself, and Lady said, are you okay? Like, are you hurt? And he said, no, we're almost done, and I'm looking at what is basically the pinnacle of my life's work, and I'm just overcome with gratitude for it, and
yeah.
there's this kind of sense of sorrow at seeing it be over, but yeah. also yeah, it was just kind of like a guy that made these beautiful, beautiful pieces of art that were going into a beautiful church,
yeah.
and he was so moved that he was just like sitting in the pew crying.
Right.
And
exactly. And I think that's why it's important humans do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it changes the person doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the act of doing the work
Yeah.
is not only good for the viewer who's going to get to see the work, but for the person who had to think of it and then execute, work hard to put it up there.
Yeah, yeah.
You would be, if we think of it in terms of spiritual graces, you would be denying all kinds of graces from all kinds of people who would be working on these projects. You know, I mean, think about what it could mean for construction workers to work on a beautiful church, like how that could impact their life, their faith life, their family life.
Yeah.
And so if you remove that, yes, it's possible technically, but it's almost like a grace and a spiritual growth that you're denying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If the Mass is about the glorification of God and the sanctification of the people, it's the people that make the building too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, there's a slight nuance you could put on this, which is that in some way we're already here for all of these questions.
Yes.
And that is that there are already entire, you know, pieces of software and hardware that make things for us. And we know people are involved to some degree, but it's becoming less and less. And even for our job, we'd already talked about, you know, earlier and in other episodes, how a lot of what we do already has, let's say, little pieces of software or even subsets of the software we use that are automated in some way.
Yeah.
And I think what's probably more likely to happen than not is that it won't be a one day the lights are on, the next day the lights are off. Yeah. It'll be a slow creep where in every aspect of our work, things will become, oh, who is it that said that the world's going to be eaten by software, or it is eaten by software? It's that, or you could replace that with automation, which is kind of the same thing.
Well, and I mean, it's interesting because I was just listening to some Christopher Alexander lectures, and his whole thing was like the construction industry is lost. You know, we no longer make buildings that are truly alive. And what he meant by that was we don't build our own buildings.
Yeah.
Like you said, it is a kit of parts. It is a process that produces it. And the reality is that even though there are Christopher Alexanders that exist in the world, it is a minority.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see a future in which we, as a society, wholeheartedly embrace all of the benefits that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, I don't see us returning to a time when we build things by hand.
Mm.
Unless it is completely and totally a conscious decision that we're doing because of an important thing.
Yeah, the momentum is not heading in that direction.
So I think that churches, if we are going to retain some of the value of doing the work, we will be the only ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I would like to think that we
would. The world
we'll
take advantage of what's out there.
Yeah.
And we will too, but I hope we don't lose sight of the fact that there is some importance to.
Yeah. I mean, part of me hopes that we do because of like the sort of principle of
Just thinking about this. So like, for example, I've seen chapels that couldn't afford stained glass, and so they did like a film of stained glass.
Mm-hmm.
So let's think of that. So would you rather have a beautiful altar rail and reredos in your church that was done 3D printed by a robot, or none at all? And that is kind of the question, because if you can't afford to pay someone to do it by hand, is it better to have something?
Yeah.
Or is it better to not have anything because you're feeling it?
It's a great question. You know, who knows how things were made?
Yeah.
I mean, for all we know, every, beautiful church you've seen overseas was actually made by a robot and someone like scrubbed dirt on it and made it look old. It's not true. But the reality, too, is that when you look at a building, you don't look at that and say, oh, well, you know, they probably didn't have enough money, or their budget was really kind of screwed up, or their timeline was really messed. You look at it and you say, is the building beautiful?
Right.
So like, part of me says, I love the idea of you saying earlier that there's a kind of supernatural grace involved with the person making it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if a thing is beautiful, it's beautiful. So I want to say like, you can't, it has to be possible to have both. But if you say, do you want a beautiful thing or nothing? A beautiful thing made by a robot.
I mean, it kind of depends, right? Because think about it this way. Would you rather have a cheap catalog Mary statue or hold out for the beautiful marble one, even if you have to wait longer? I feel like an easier choice because some of these plastic statues you see out there are terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, like, I mean, having a statue of Mary would be better than having no statue of Mary.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to say that it's like you should have a desire for the beautiful thing made by a person.
Yeah.
But it's a stark, like you get nothing or you get the robot version that you can afford. I'm inclined to say that that's better, but that's a means to an end.
Right.
And that like you should, you should desire. It's like you should pray for God to hone your tastes to things that are actually fully glorifying of Him. But it's not an easy question, and it's one that the reason why I'm doing this is we deal with this all the time. That's why I'm trying to put it in this game format. Is this is what anyone who's going to be working in church or any kind of building today will have to deal with, where they'll say, you got a thing, you can get it 20% cheaper, and it's millions of dollars, so that's or 10%, 5%, that's a lot of money. But it's going to be a much lower quality product.
Right.
Or it won't be quite as nice, or it won't be carved by the Italians, it'll be a Chinese plaster thing.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. No, I mean, those are real questions.
Yeah.
And I still think there is an almost priceless value to allowing artists to work and having the touch of an artist, even if, I would even say, let's say you can't afford the really, really high-end artists, but you can you can hire someone that's a local artist that will do a good job. It won't be the most beautiful Italian thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that it is almost better that someone did it with their own hands rather than having the 3D printer printed Pietà that's perfect to have an imperfect
Pietà
by the local artist you could afford.
Yeah. I think that's right.
So
I don't know why that's right. Part of me wants to say the most beautiful thing is what you should want. But maybe what we should want is, before something that's beautifully made by a robot, a thing that's human first. Yeah. Because whenever we fully understand our humanity and we're connected to it, that
I just think, I mean, I would hope that, when you, and Father Ripperger, shout out, Father Ripperger talks about that.
Hey!
Where he says,
he's not watching. We're like, hey, let's talk about robots.
Yeah. No. AI, Father Ripperger kind of goes together.
Yeah. But that's our YouTube
piece. So he talks about the graces you get from a church where people sacrifice for it to be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so there's something to that. There's something to the fact that you sacrificed, the artist who made the church sacrificed, the construction team sacrificed, and that all of that is seen by God and it's pleasing to Him. That is a beautiful thing. And so the minute you take away, so to speak, the sacrifice of the people who built it, you are in that same process, taking away graces and taking away, kind of offerings to God.
Yeah, yeah.
In a futuristic dystopia, the Cain and Abel story is different. It's one of them sent their AI robot to give the offering and 3D printed this beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And the other did it by hand.
Yeah.
Which one do you think is more pleasing to God?
Yeah.
The one where the robot toiled or the one where the human toiled?
I love this. This will be a short story. We'll write it. It'll be a science fiction.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's true. They're all good provocations. It's a thing that I think we'll have to come back to. But
oh, for sure. That'll be a constant theme.
I love the game. This is great.
That was fun.
Thanks.
No problem.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
It's an empty glass here. Thank you guys for listening.
See you next time.
Yeah.
Oh, subscribe. Subscribe
Smash
to our YouTube
that
channel.
Like button. Yeah.
And any whatever podcast player you like, do it.
Spotify, Stitcher.
Yeah. Please
Overcast.
Subscribe so that we can get the word out.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Oh, wait, I'll let you do it. I don't know how to do it.
All right. I think that was good.
That was great.